Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a height no one outside of Western New York expected for the Bills this
year. No, not this year.
And look, if most diehard Bills fans are being honest, you didn't think they weren't going to win the AFC East.
Mm.
But you may not expect to be in the spot that we're in now. Because after what happened on Sunday,
ooh boy,
your Buffalo Bills are looking down the barrel of the most important game, definitely of the last 30 years. I would argue outside of the Super Bowl appearances, this may be the most important game in franchise history.
You could taste it.
Oh, it's at Cooter. The horse.
Do not taste horse Cooter. You will be arrested.
Horse Cooter sounds like a nickname of a kid from Tennessee.
You are really confusing people who missed that lesson.
Well, we'll catch everybody up. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. If you're here looking for Where Are They Whining, I understand there's a reason why we're going to talk to Dan. Not only because he's great, but Dan has been on after every Bills game so far this season, and things have gone awesome.
He's the lucky charm.
We are not here to mess up mojo.
Yeah.
So we are moving Where Are They Whining to Thursday. Put it in your phone alarm right now. Let's talk to from 13 Women Buffalo Plus, Dan Fates. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I would like to apologize right up front that we were so late. We got stuck talking about horse vaginas.
As one does. Who hasn't?
Okay, good. All right, Dan, agree or disagree? Outside of the four Super Bowls, this is the most important game on Sunday in the history of this franchise.
Ooh, probably.
That's not an answer.
It's massive in the sense of, it's still hard to, like, compartmentalize the fact of, like, the Bills being ahead of schedule in this year that was supposed to be a soft rebuild and all of these things. So it almost feels like they're a little bit ahead of their progress and where we all thought they would be. So this does – balancing the act between feeling like this is a little bit of found money and also feeling like this is the best version of Josh Allen and needing to capitalize on this because we thought the championship window was closed prior to the season for a lot of us. So it is that balancing act of, Duffy, like you were saying, like, I don't think anybody thought they would be here. So it's balancing that with, hey, it is the Chiefs, it is Mahomes, it's in Kansas City. It's going to be, I'm probably with you, one of the biggest games that this franchise ever had.
Okay, I think found money is the perfect way to put it. Because, Tommy, you made an interesting statement this morning.
Oh, about the horse cooter?
No, not about the horse cooter.
A high cooter? Go ahead.
We were talking about, you had brought up how Lamar looked in that game on Sunday night, like physically.
Uncomfortable.
Versus how Josh looked.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy, you had mentioned that Lamar just looked terrible, just did not want to be there.
They do not look like a cold weather team.
But I think it goes further than that because, I mean, Dan, we've seen Josh look nervous, uncomfortable in big games before. You could see the tension on his face. And there have been some changes in the offseason, whether it's Stephon Diggs not being there, whether it's the comfort of having Khalil Shakir as his new security blanket, not having to distribute the ball. I mean, Dan, is it possible this team is better not because you subtracted Diggs, not because of the defensive coordinator doing what he does, but because Josh isn't playing with the expectations that he had?
I think it's because Josh has matured as a quarterback because you've probably seen it going around social media, but the one play that completely encompasses that is late in the fourth quarter, Josh on third and goal from the two, before they kick the field goal to go up eight. Josh, it's a quarterback run, he gets stuffed. But there's a split second that Josh moves the ball like he wants to lateral it back 5 to 10 yards to James Cook, which you better believe he would have done that 2 years ago. There's no question in my mind Josh hits all the buttons on the controller, throws the ball back to James Cook. Chaos would have ensued, and we all would have been like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? But in that moment, Josh thought about it, thought, that's a bad idea, covered the ball up, and they took the field goal and got the points. Like, this is a team that has, for the most part, last year it was flash and sizzle and all this fun and big plays and all that stuff. This year it's been methodical. It's been a lot of running. It's been Josh at key moments. It's been more calculated. So that's where it feels like Josh is more mature, that he's playing in this comfort of, hey, the ball's going to go where the ball's going to go. Like, this is all that it takes. I just can't make mistakes, which historically, Josh has had the cleanest season in NFL history when you talk about the fewest negative plays, fewest turnovers, and fewest sacks. Nobody has done it better this year in the history of football than Josh Allen.
You know, it's funny. In hindsight, you remember that play that he's describing. It's third and two. Okay. James Cook is standing by himself in the backfield. Josh is wrapped up by three Ravens, and there is that split second. Yeah.
Tony Romo said it on the broadcast. Everybody like, wanted to throw that backwards.
Tony Romo yelled no during the broadcast. Everybody in Western New York at the same time, including Tony Romo, went no! Yeah. And like, here's the thing. You don't even need the replay. You can see live Josh's eyes widen. Like, where do you see what I'm going to do here? Like, the fact that he didn't do it, but everybody had the same reaction, Dan, made that my favorite play of the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was the game play that saved the game in one weird way because of, I was there in Houston in 2019 when he's running down the field, lateraling the ball back to Dawson Knox. Like, this is not like, it wouldn't have been like, wow, he's never done that before. Like, he has, okay? Like, he has been those crazy moments. So, to see that, it was one of those things where it's like, you talk about how Lamar looked, Tommy talked about, like, Lamar looked rattled and uncomfortable. Josh just has felt calm this entire year. Like, hey, don't do anything stupid. Make the smart plays, and we're going to win these games because we're not going to beat ourselves.
Dan Fates from 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus hanging out with us on a special Tuesday because, again, we are all about keeping things the way they have been. The Bills have been playing very well with Dan joining us after every game. We're not going to screw that up. We're not going to screw that up, Tommy. Tommy, I'm going to ask you right now, and this, I'm assuming this is going to change throughout the week. On a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence in this team going into Kansas City on Sunday.
Oh, it's a 10.
What?
My confidence is 10.
You believe, that's a guarantee the Bills are going to win this game.
Kansas City hasn't been blowing people away or dazzling people this year.
Oh, you idiot. Kimmy?
Yeah?
1 to 10, 10 being the most confident. Where's your confidence right now?
It's slightly above average, so I'm going to give it a solid 6.5.
Oh, I hate you. You could have just said 6.
A little more than 6.
I want to be
a little
special.
More than 6, not enough to be 7.
All right, Dan, do you see 6.5 or 10? Is the more appropriate confidence to have in this Bills team come Sunday?
6.5. Now, I will say this. I am more confident heading into this game more than I was the Ravens game. I thought the Ravens were a poor matchup, as everybody expected, with the running game and how could they stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and all these things. The Bills have a better matchup against the Chiefs. Just team-wise, they just match up better. They don't have this physical running game as much as Baltimore did. Their offensive line isn't as good, so I think the Bills will be able to get pressure. Their defensive line isn't as scary, so like there are parts to this. And what's Tommy mumbling while I'm trying to talk?
I don't know. He's just saying words.
I'm agreeing with you.
Cooter.
Ooh, they got Cooter.
Yeah, well, they probably do have a Cooter. It's Missouri. Missouri leads the nation in Cooters per capita.
In country Cooter, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But Dan, you were saying, I'm sorry.
I'm totally lost. Yeah, you got me. Well done, Tommy.
You could have kept talking, man.
No, you can't talk over Cooter, man.
Try to give you some space.
All right, Dan. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
It's a better matchup. That I think that's where I was getting.
So my 10 is looking pretty good.
No, he said 6.5, you idiot. Listen to him.
I'm listening.
Listen to this man.
Better matchup. Weak front line.
I had a follow-up question that I lost on account of Cooters.
So you think it's a 10 even though the Bills on the road here, too? I mean, they're going to Kansas City.
I said, whoever won that game between Baltimore and the Bills was going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I said, that's your Super Bowl champ right there.
I didn't say that.
I said, if you can get over that Baltimore hump, you're going to glide into the Super Bowl.
Which, by the way, one of my favorite dances from the 1970s.
Oh, they banned it in 7 states.
But
not Maryland.
I mean, Dan, I want to bring up something that may sound insane, but also may be the Bills' only option. Because as we walked into this playoffs, it's the healthiest this team has ever been in the Sean McDermott era. And that may have taken a major blow Sunday night. Taylor Rapp leaves the game on a cart. I would imagine, Dan, him playing Sunday is almost impossible, right? I mean, we would think.
Day-to-day is what Sean McDermott said yesterday.
Okay.
They can shoot the kid up
and
get him going.
They carted him. He needed an Uber.
Once they bring out that cart, I'm like, well, He's done.
Okay.
They used to put Arnold Palmer in that card and he'd play the next day. They got a good needle for the kid.
Much different card. All right, Dan, here's what I'm asking. What? Let's say in a hypothetical situation, Taylor Rapp, the Bills safety, cannot go. That leaves you with dressing.
No.
Either a practice squad player in Kareem Jackson, who has seen time this year, but you're also playing the greatest offense of their generation, the Kansas City Chiefs, or Tommy, a man the Bills signed to the practice squad a month ago. Let me finish, Dan!
I already counted it out.
Who's that?
Micah Hyde.
Oh!
He's on the practice squad roster. He played last season.
He's a stud.
Dan, if you are the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Taylor Rapp can't go, and you have to dress one more safety, are you dressing practice squad Kareem Jackson, who has been on this roster pretty much all season? Or do you go with the veteran, where if you are in a pinch, he knows everything about everything, Micah Hyde on Sunday?
It's Kareem Jackson.
You still? Why? No, you're in it. Why?
No, Sean McDermott already said Micah Hyde will not play.
Oh, he said it about Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Why would he do that? The guy knows the team better.
Jimmy, I was like, why is he asking this question? I thought it was going to be a joke. But he said there is a 0% chance that Micah Hyde dresses on Sunday. And then he was asked about it later, and he said, okay, I'll give him 1%.
Yes!
And then
smiled. Yes!
And then it was kind of it. So,
okay. But, Dan, why would you not explore that option?
So I think, and again, not in the building as we joke around about and say, but I think Micah came back, wanted to play. He even said he needed to get his weight up. I think he was around like 175, like when he got back to Buffalo. I think
the Bills, who admitted
that we didn't work him out. Like, he just said he wanted to come back. We're like, yeah, of course. I think they got to see like, hey, this is not a guy that's ready to play NFL football right now. I think he has been more of an on-field coach and mentor to the back of the secondary. I don't think, especially when he didn't get in week 18. When they didn't play him in New England, it was like, oh, he's not going to play, period. Because when you talk about Kareem Jackson or Micah Hyde hasn't played football in a year. At least Kareem Jackson has. So it's Kareem Jackson.
Okay, but I'm looking back throughout the history of what the Bills have had to do with patchwork offenses and defenses, right? You sign John Brown 2 years ago off the street, a guy who hadn't played football in like 2 years. Then A.J. Klein, yes, he was in training camp with the Bills last season at linebacker, but he was literally leaving for an RV vacation from his
house. Oh,
that
dude, yeah.
Yes, and he came in and played all these games. Look, I understand that each circumstance is different, but we know that Micah Hyde's mind knows this defense, works at a high level. I mean, Dan, I'm not talking starting the guy. You've got a backup safety already on the roster you can play. I'm saying in a worst-case scenario, we are now down to...
In a worst-case scenario, is he the best-case scenario?
But Dan, you say no. It's Kareem Jackson.
I still think it's Kareem Jackson.
I know.
But I still think like what Micah Hyde is doing is helping those guys and Kareem Jackson and all the other guys. Like, Micah Hyde's best thing, what you're talking about here, is like his knowledge and understanding of the system.
So he's like his coach on the sidelines, like a know-it-all man.
His brain is better than his body right now. So
save your money and don't do drugs. And don't chase skirts all the time.
Stay away from the cooter.
And call your mother.
That's it. Tommy nailed it.
So, all right. You just ruined my fantasy because in my head, right?
Your Micah Hyde fantasy?
Well, I think that was what everybody was anticipating after this game, and I think Sean McDermott was like, just to get ahead of things, no.
Well, no, but I mean...
Don't even ask me about it.
But walk through this, right? Like, Micah Hyde coming over from Green Bay is one of the kickstarts to this team becoming good, right? He battles, puts his body on the line, hurts himself over and over again to make sure this team is where it is. He misses out before the crescendo, before things get really, really good. For him to dress in a game where he's needed legitimately, and then with the Bills up six, the Chiefs driving, and him to make that game-sealing interception, I would have burst into tears like a baby boy. And you took that from me, Dan.
It's a tough position to be an old guy in, though.
So what?
Yeah. Leave it to Duffy to be like upset as the Bills are going to the AFC Championship game because – Micah Hyde isn't playing. And listen, Micah Hyde's a great dude. Like,
oh, now, now look at him. Boom, I'm dead. Now I got to back it up because I don't want him out of like the Micah Hyde fantasy. Check me out.
I just think it's very funny that like you're finding the one sad thing of this entire incredible run is like, but Micah Hyde's not playing. And it's like, yeah, it's okay.
Bish
like, he's back to be a player and to be a coach and to be around the team. But also, Duffy, you'll always have that hype video before the Broncos game.
Yes,
that's a sick video.
He did narrate a video for the Bills before the Broncos
game. Okay, he's a great narrator.
Yeah, okay, great. Man, I can't wait till he dresses on Sunday and my fantasy comes true. And I'm not sad about it. I just think the guy deserves it, Dan. Does he not deserve it?
It sounds like he's not ready to play.
He's underweight and he hasn't played.
Yeah, but you're underweight and you don't know how to do anything. And they let you talk into a microphone every
day. As a guy who feels like he's maybe not ready or not able to come back, you don't want to be the reason your team loses either.
And this kind of goes back to your childhood a little bit.
What does that mean, Dick?
Like, because, like, you know, you're saying, like, Micah Hyde.
Duffy, there's another scenario where you're talking about the Bills are up six and Micah hides on the field and gets the pick, or he gets beat because he hasn't played football in a year, and then what are you doing?
Do you know what the definition of a fantasy is, Dan?
I'm just saying.
But you were saying, Tommy.
No, but this kind of goes back to your childhood, like, because you're saying, like, he's on the sidelines, he's not participating, he has to watch it. I can think of a sad, fat little boy who sat on the edge of his bed waiting for his daddy to take him to a game because he were the last choice when all his buddies bombed out.
This is true.
And then sometimes you would just hear the door slam, the car start up, and there was going to be no Bills for you.
Why would you do this to me, right?
No, but this is what it's all about.
It's not. No.
You see yourself as Micah Hyde on the sideline.
I mean, am I the Micah Hyde of this room? Yeah.
The Micah Hyde of the Duffy household?
The leader that walked in here and kickstarted the revolution that became this show? Yeah, I'm the Micah Hyde of this room. And I can't manage to get myself a victory?
I was thinking more of that fat little boy.
Dan Fates from 13 Way Buffalo Plus hanging out with us as we keep the streak alive. We are not going to be the one to mess up any juju. All right. Dan, I'm going to tell you what's pissing me off right now.
Okay.
The Chiefs always try to make themselves an underdog.
Yeah, they've been doing this for the last few weeks, and I don't get it.
So they're 16-1. They are point-and-a-half favorites as we speak.
People counted us out, did they?
And Andy Reid, oh, it gets better, Kimmy. Andy Reid was asked yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing what he thinks about this game, and he says, the Bills will probably be favored, but that's okay. He is, as the head coach, well aware that the Bills are point-and-a-half favorites, that they've lost one game, and it was only to Buffalo. Dan, what the hell are they trying to do here, them playing themselves as the underdog?
Well, they have gone full villain. Like, the play on Saturday where Mahomes flops like the worst flop I've seen. It would have been a bad flop in an NBA game as he's going out of bounds and just pretends like his Achilles heel blows out, and then he gets up when he realizes that there's not a flag. They have gone full, you know, arch villain to the NFL. They have been doing this for years. They adopted it from Tom Brady and the Patriots, where everybody said nobody believed in us when nobody ever actually said that. But they get it in their head that they, you know, people don't. They're confusing people not thinking they can do it with the reality is people not wanting them to go back and to keep winning. So they sit there and go, nobody said we're going to do it. No, we're all just hoping you guys lose so that we're over this. That's where it is. The Chiefs are a very good team. Breaking news there, yeah. The Bills did beat them.
Yeah.
This comes down to a play where these two teams are very similar. I remember earlier on in the year, leading up to that Bills game, was that I said the Bills have become Chiefs-y. Like, they have not been this dynamic offense that we've become used to, but they would play good defense, they would take advantage of opportunities, they would grind out wins. It's what New England did for all those years. It's what the Chiefs did. It's what the Bills have gotten pretty good at doing, is finding ways to win. And Josh has said it time and time again. We just got to beat them by one. You don't got to beat teams by 20 in the playoffs. It's just by one.
Dan, I hope to goodness that we are talking to you on Monday. Fingers crossed.
Do you want to know what? It might be in an airport.
Oh, they're flying you for a change?
Yeah. Yeah, no, last time he hitchhiked, it got weird with the whole Cooter thing.
Yeah. We'll have to check. I think we're flying out at like 6, so I'll keep you posted, but it could be another classic airport convo.
I can't wait. Dan, listen, we have to make this happen because, again, things have gone so well, and we rode through you getting yelled at by a woman at the airport and then bitching out when you're okay,
you're
and then you got all mad.
So loud.
You got all mad. But it was so funny because, like, in the moment, right, like, Dan, you're talking so loud. Yeah, I'm sorry, okay? And then, like, as soon as he got, like, who you think you are? You know who I am? I know Mike Catalano.
I went, okay, was my response. She said, you're talking so loud, and I said, okay.
No, I seem to remember you saying, I'm so sorry, ma'am. What can I do to make it up for you? I'm afraid right now. That was the quote I remember falling out of your mouth.
and then quickly going Duffy, and I could instantly go Duffy, go, did you just get yelled at? And I was like, you could hear that?
Well, because you were talking so loud right now. Very loud, right loud, right now. All right, Dan, let's say I love what you and Jenna and Catalana do over there on 13 Wham. But, you know, we are, Tommy, in Bill's mania right now.
Right.
Let's say I wanted all that you do of that Buffalo stuff plus a little bit more.
I think that's it. They're done. Right?
Is there?
I don't think there's anything else.
There's no plus?
Plus what?
Yeah, Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, tons of content. Mike, Jed, and myself, we will all be heading out to Kansas City later this weekend. So we will all be there and have complete coverage before and after the game.
Dan, always a pleasure, buddy. Fingers crossed. Well, no, we're talking to you next week either way now, just because I know it's going to be hard for you. So we really appreciate the time, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, great. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, have a good one, guys. Appreciate it.
There goes hot take Dan Fates. Can't take a confrontation in an airport with a woman.
No.
Fates.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's the thing.
What's that?
10, 20, 30 years from now, for the rest of these kids' lives, they're going to remember this moment and look back upon it fondly.
Oh, wow.
Right? It's going to be one of these family memories that lives on forever. It'll probably live on in the lore of this town. However, in the moment, this is not the warm, fuzzy story that I think everybody thinks it is. Because if you have siblings, you know they get on your effing nerves, right?
Yeah.
And if you have competitive siblings, which these kids must be in the spot that they're in, it makes it 1,000 times worse. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Our live stream cameras are up and rolling, baby.
Oh, look at that.
The Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube or Twitch. You can watch us on YouTube or Twitch at the break room WCMF, brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting ready for this game on Sunday. That's a place to stop.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, if you missed any part of the show we did today or any show we've ever done, they are all saved on our YouTube channel.
Look at that.
So you can go back and watch anything, all discussions related to horse vaginas, if you missed that earlier today.
That and more.
Yep. At The Break Room WCMF on YouTube. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Let me tell you about a family. Basketball-loving family.
Okay.
They live just east of us, or excuse me, just south of us in Corning.
Mm.
The Corning Christian Academy had a very unique game late last week.
What happened?
Their starting lineup consisted of five brothers.
Wait, one family.
One family.
Is the starting five.
The entire starting lineup of this high school basketball team. They had senior Tyrus Peters, Teddy, a junior, Denton, a freshman, Gehrig, a seventh grader, and little Mickey, a sixth grader.
Slick Mick?
That's what they call him down there in Corning.
Oh, yeah.
The brothers started the game, which, by the way, they ended up winning late last week. And Mickey, who was a call-up for this game from the junior varsity team, it seems, he didn't play a ton, but it was enough to get that opportunity, the picture, the history for the family to all be on the court together. And 20, 30, 40 years from now, that picture's going to hang in each one of their houses,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to reflect fondly.
Mm-hmm. How could you not?
On the moment they had. But the way the story is written now, I don't think anybody involved realizes how much this must have sucked for at least three of those brothers.
Oh, coming up? Which is actually still coming up.
Kimmy, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because your brother played Division I college lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad was very competitive.
Yeah.
You played sports yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think the older brothers had a harder time with this? Or the younger brothers had a harder time with this?
I'm going to guess, so it depends. Because if the younger one, it's been my experience where like the younger ones coming up tend to exceed the older ones, but you don't know that yet.
Okay. So eventually the youngest will be the best.
So I think that it's easier to be the older one because you're paving the path. So people aren't comparing you yet to your siblings. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Unless they've already surpassed you, depending on the situation. But I would say it's probably harder to be the younger ones because you always have the older ones' expectations to live up to.
Would you agree with Kimmy there?
Yeah, I would say so, probably, right? Okay. I mean, you're always going to be compared to your brothers, your older brothers.
Okay.
Because you haven't proven anything yet.
You're right.
It makes it easier for the younger ones if the older one didn't have much success, right? Because then you kind of have it's a lower bar set there. But if that older sibling had any success at all, you're always going to be compared to them.
You know, but you do bring up a really good point. When it comes to youth sports, it does seem the youngest ones always have the most success. And I don't know if that's competitive in the house. Oh. I don't know if that's you were exposed at a younger age to higher level sports because that person was there.
Probably all of the above.
Right. It's never the oldest brother or oldest sister that is the most athletically successful. It always seems to be one of the younger ones.
That's a weird experiment. If you took all the brothers that played professional sports and where they fell in age, who, you know what I mean? Did the younger ones excel?
You look at the Kelce brothers. I know it's not a perfect science, but I would argue that Travis Kelce has been more successful than his brother. I mean, granted, he played a more anonymous position.
Yeah.
But Travis has more hardware.
Well, he's a star.
Against an offensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, can you think of other brothers that played sports together?
You might not even know the name brothers, of the oldest
sibling. Hank and Tommy Aaron.
Okay.
Was Tommy Aaron older than Hank Aaron?
Kimmy, can you Google who the older Aaron brother was?
Because they have the most home runs by brothers.
It's got to be Hank.
Who's the younger?
No, the oldest one, I think. Although Gretzky was the oldest of his brothers to play in the league, and he far exceeded all of them.
Oh, so I guess it doesn't
Aaron
matter.
Was the older.
Aaron, okay. So
No. Hold on.
Yeah, I was going to say Aaron's his last name.
Sorry, I was reading.
Tommy or Hank.
Aaron was the oldest Hank Aaron brother.
He was the best of the Aarons.
All of the Aarons. It was Aaron that was the best Aaron. No, because, like, I mean, I kind of experienced this with my brother, right? Like, coming up. Well, it depended on the sport. Like, Ryan had...
Yeah, but you were competing in weight.
Hank Aaron was older.
Okay, that blows up our whole theory.
Okay, so none of it matters.
Maybe it only counts with, like, high school stuff, right? Because...
Well, I guess... Yeah, and we're talking about people who made it to, like, the ultimate level, like, the highest of high level, too,
sure.
You know?
No, I don't know, man. Like, it's really hard. As we talk about these five brothers just south of us, they all started a high school basketball game together. They were on the floor at the same time. Senior Tyrus Peters, junior Teddy, freshman Denton, seventh grader Gehrig, and sixth grader Mickey all at the same time. I think it may be hardest for the oldest because this is your moment, mm-hmm. right? This is your time. It's your senior year.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting, I mean.
You got to share it.
If the kid could play. And now, you know, there would be a feeling as a brother, and I'm not saying this is what the case is, that you're now forcing my younger brothers into this situation and kind of taking the shine off of me. And maybe that kid...
Oh, it is. It definitely is.
And maybe that kid's humble, and he can handle it no problem, and that's great for him. But I wouldn't have been that way at 17.
Because the whole story is that this whole family is playing this game, not this kid's really good.
Yeah.
You know what also sucks for the younger siblings, though? They're always going to be accidentally called their older brother's name. Like, nobody ever mistakes the oldest for the younger ones. It's always the other way around. So, like, your teachers, your coaches, they're always going to accidentally, or even on purpose, call you the older sibling's name.
Well, no, like, my brother got that. Like, I was Duff, because I'm cool. Mm. He was Little Duff.
There ain't nothing little about that boy.
All right, the irony, yes.
That is Duff full of fluff. He's a fluffy boy.
You yelled at me about the horse jokes I made, and you're going to hit it with a Duff full of fluff? I mean, Kimmy, was there ever any competition with your brother, or did you just let... Because he's younger than you.
No, yeah, he was younger. I think it's...
Better athlete.
Yeah, he was.
She's
I think
girl.
It was also so different what? Between, like an older sister, younger brothers, different... You're competitive, but it's just different.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we would have never played on the same team. We would have never shared the same coaches. You know what I mean?
Sure, I get what you're saying. You know, it's funny, too, when you have... Like, I got my daughters. Mm-hmm. My oldest plays hockey. That's, like, her big thing.
Yeah.
My youngest just started playing tennis a year ago. But they compete in their own sports against each other to try and gain dominance.
Really?
What I mean by that is, like, Claire, my youngest one, used to get out and, like, skate around every once in a while.
Yeah.
And my oldest daughter would go out of her way to try and embarrass her.
Mm-hmm.
When, of course, you're going to embarrass her. Well, now that Claire knows how to play tennis and Stella does not, she goes out of her way to just face her older sister in tennis. And, of course, her sister's not going to be any good at tennis.
Right.
She doesn't play.
Not her thing.
Exactly. But, like, they both needed that. Like, I am the dominant one at what I do, even though the
Because everybody wants to have their thing.
Yeah.
You want to have your thing, especially at that age. That's
you
your whole world,
it.
Right? So that would suck having four other brothers doing my thing that I have to share with.
Did like,
you never get that full glory if you are that good.
Yeah.
Did you do anything your older brothers did? Like, was there an activity?
Alcoholism.
They did?
Yeah. Drug abuse, pornography.
Because they played, like, sports and stuff, right? Like, did you ever get into that even as, like, a little
no.
kid?
No. I mean, first of all, they were way older than me.
Yeah.
I was that 4 helps. Years old when my brother went to college.
Okay.
Yeah, but that wasn't the biggest problem.
What was the biggest problem?
Well, no, your brothers are both tall guys.
Yeah.
Right? They're in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
They're built like farm boys.
Settle down.
I'm just saying, man. I've seen some
No,
videos.
I was a puny kid, and my father also didn't know what to do with a puny kid.
Sure.
Like, I don't think he understood. Like, I think he looked at, like, what am I supposed to do with this runt?
I mean, that's what fetal alcohol syndrome will do to people.
Well, slow down then, Mike.
Not from him, you idiot. Do you know how it works?
Well, they were probably cocktailing and banging at the same time. It was a joint effort.
Can I ask a darker question now that it comes up?
Dark up.
Okay. So, your brother's taller, built sturdier.
Mm-hmm.
They look like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it possible that your mother, that you're someone else's kid?
It could be. I mean, because my sister was also short. So, my sister was 4'11".
Okay.
Oh.
And me. So, she could have banged some other guy, had two kids.
Gotcha. Do you look like your dad?
Yeah, kind of. Well, you've seen the pictures.
No, I have. I'm just trying. I'm asking your opinion.
Yeah.
Like, do you see your dad in your face?
Oh, yeah.
So he was
especially
also,
now.
So he was also ugly.
So you think he cheated?
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.